1 Corinthians chapter 6 is going to be the focus of our study tonight. Verse 12, and we're continuing, of course, our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you're going to have a biblical worldview, you're going to have to understand how to view yourself. That makes sense, right? Who you are in Jesus Christ. And this passage, very serious passage, and the more you read it, the more you want to go, wow. And so we're going to start in verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? We're going to go through verse 20. Then we're going to go down to verse 19 and 20, and that's where we're going to start tonight and come back up and work our way back through. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, or you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do bow before you today and pray for your guidance as we examine your word tonight. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Touch us, correct us, guide us. Provide every spiritual need that's present in this service today. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm intrigued by the Holy Spirit, or by the Old Testament, and a lot of the things in the Old Testament. And one of those things that just gets me, or sparks my interest, is the temple. I always find that interesting because the temple paints a picture of the New Testament. And so Paul makes an interesting comment or an interesting statement here in verse 19 when he asked them the question, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" In the Old Testament, once again, they had a temple or tabernacle. Now, that word temple, it of course means dwelling place, but it was used very uniquely toward the temple of God of the Old Testament. Okay? And it didn't just refer to the temple grounds, it referred to the most sacred part of the temple. It was not used to refer to the outer court, it was used to refer to the holy place. And the Holy of Holies, that was the only time they used this word this way, is referring to those two. Which I find really interesting when you go back in the Old Testament, you know, there was a curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And what happened when Jesus was crucified? That curtain was torn from top to bottom and removed. So now there was just a holy place. And so, I've often thought of what it would have been like once a year, when that high priest had to go through all the process, and it was a long process. We're not going to get real deep into it tonight, but preparing and offering the sacrifice, when he would enter into that Holy of Holies, and apply the blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And the profound nature of knowing that God was in there. Can you imagine that? I mean, this guy knew he was literally coming into the presence of God. Do you ever think about coming into the presence of God? Do you realize how profound this is when Paul says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The dwelling place, the Holy of Holies, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say you've got to understand who you are. That inside of you, God literally lives. And that's the idea, is that of all that we read, is that allowing God to not only live on the inside, but God to live through you on the outside. You know, do you ever just get quiet and pray and talk to God, and you know you've been in the presence of God? It's because He's there. I think oftentimes we don't stop and take the time and get quiet enough to actually hear from God. But you understand the great significance of that you are a walking temple and presence of God. And that the Spirit of God lives in you. And the rest of it, as I said, the idea is that the Spirit should live through you. You know, and so when we say that, you've heard people say, especially young people, I've heard them make this comment, it's my life. It's my life. I'll live it like I want to live it. Listen, if you are a believer, you are in direct conflict with the Word of God. It is not your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 60 years old or if you're 20 years old. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He goes on, you were bought with a price. Ransomed, you were paid for. What was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ. So I want us to all understand at this point, we do not belong to us. I think we're spoiled as Americans. You know, it's all about our rights as Americans. The right to free speech, the right to bear arms, the right, you know, to whatever we want. And you know, and I can agree with all that stuff, but at the same time, I'm reminded by what Paul is writing here, you know, it's God that has all the rights. God has the right to tell me what I should do. God has the right to run my life. God has the right to guide. He has the right to say, don't do that, to do that. He has the right to move me. He has the right to make me stay. He has the right to have me do whatever He wants because He bought me through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you understand these two things, that you don't belong to you, you've been bought and paid for, and that because you've been bought and paid for, the Holy Spirit of God is alive and well in you, it makes a difference in how you view life. And with all that in mind, we go back to verse 12. When Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Now, reminder, if you're the temple of God and you don't belong to you, you've got to accept this. All things are lawful, meaning there are plenty of things out there that you can do. It's not against the law. It's permissible. And he goes on to speak about sexual immorality. And the thing he was referring to is some of these believers had apparently gotten involved in the idol temples who had temple harlots. And they were viewing, you know, sexual immorality as just, it's a form of life. It's just like eating. You have these needs and you just have to go fulfill these needs. No, you're not your own. No, that's not the way it is for the child of God. There are a lot of things that are permissible or allowed by culture or law. Sex outside of marriage is law. The problem is it's not helpful. You know, homosexuality is permissible, but it's not helpful. Living together outside of marriage, and you can go on, and it's not just limited to that. What about being bitter? You ever known bitter people? You can be as bitter I don't like anybody and anything person as you want to. It's allowable. But is it helpful? You can be a lot of things. And understanding who you are in Christ Jesus, you begin to view these things that we think I have the right to be, and we start to understand I don't have that right to be anything except what God calls me to be. You know, when he says these things are not helpful, that word helpful, it means to be advantageous. And he's not talking about to your advantage. He's talking about to the advantage of God who's living in you, who bought and paid for you. You realize you're not your own, and the idea of your life is for the glory of God. That's why he ended there in verse 20 and said, glorify God in your body. You belong to Jesus. The point of the whole text is that you live, or let the Spirit live through you to the glory of God at all times. You see, he also said we're members. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And when you think that word members, it literally means parts of the body. And you've heard people say that we're the hands and feet of Jesus, right? That's the idea of that statement. This whole idea, it means that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, that in what we're doing, we're looking to honor God through what we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that you're going to spend 24/7 on your knees in prayer. That's not it. It doesn't mean that you never, you're going to spend 24/7 reading your Bible. Although those things are good, that's not what it means. This isn't about withdrawing from society and culture and from people. The point to this is that wherever you are, that you are the hands and feet of Jesus, however those hands and feet of Jesus are needed. You do realize, you know, and we say that, and the first thought is, well, we can never do anything, and that means you're not supposed to take vacations. And no, it simply means that when you're on vacation, you're the hands and feet of Jesus. Be looking for that opportunity. When you're at work, be the hands and feet of Jesus, looking for that opportunity. Today, I had an opportunity. This has never happened to me before, but I'll share with you. We took Andrea to eat lunch, Andrea and Tyler, and we're having lunch at a local restaurant, and we were coming out. There's a lot of cars around, and Beth and I were walking to our vehicle, and Beth said, how did they get that car in there? And I looked, and there was this much between two parked cars. And I thought, how in the world? And the funny thing was, one of the cars, the mirror stuck out, and it was an inch, you know, from the other car. And the car beside its mirror was on the other side. And there was no way, I still don't know how they got the car there. But Beth and I approached our vehicle, this Hispanic young lady came up, and she couldn't speak English, you know. And she came up to us, and she just came up to this, and you could see the fear in her eyes. And she said, well, I don't know what she said. But ultimately, she started using hand motions. You know, she'd do this and point at me and point at her car. And point at me and point at her car. And I looked at her and I don't know if I want to do this or not. But I asked her, do you want me to get your car out? And she said, yes, you know. And so I went over and got in her car and very carefully turned the wheel and ultimately, make a long story short, got her out. And you know, I could not communicate with that young lady. And afterwards, she was very appreciative. I do know what gracious means. But afterwards, I thought, you know, God put me there to show kindness, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm not telling you that as a bragging. I didn't do anything, okay? But I'm telling you that so that we can all just stop and consider wherever we are, we should be looking for those opportunities to show, whether it's an act of kindness, whether it's to tell somebody about Jesus, whether it's just to help somebody and to help them have a better day. We are members of Christ, so that everything that we do should reflect Jesus. That's the point. That's the point of this of what Paul's saying. You see, the problem with us is often we try to be both. We want to try to live like the world and yet be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it does not work. And the reason it does not work is when we get involved with things like sexual immorality, people are watching. When we get involved in things that are not Christian, people are watching. And you know what it does? It destroys our testimony. Now you back up and go to where we were a while ago. If we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and God's living within us and within us rests the Holy of Holies, how do we want people to see God? When it says, you're the members of Christ, you're the body of Christ, that's what it's talking about. You know, and Paul goes on and he says, you can't be both. And he when he talked about, you know, attaching yourself to a harlot, and again, he was referring to that idol form of worship. And being involved with temple harlots in that day. But his point was, you can't do stuff like that and show the world Jesus Christ. Now, I know that, again, we're talking to the Sunday night crowd. And you know, we're not... I'm going to assume that the Sunday night crowd is not involved in sexual immorality. It's an assumption on my part, right? However, I do know sometimes we don't reflect who we are in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get selfish. Sometimes we just don't want to. Sometimes I get lazy. But that's not who we are. Point to the message tonight is just understand. If you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are, what should the world see? Should they not see Jesus? If we're the hands and feet of Jesus, what should the world see? They should see Jesus, right? And so tonight, just a reminder for all of us. You know, wherever we are this week, wherever we find ourselves, you may go on vacation. You may be out playing and doing whatever you like to do as a hobby. Wonderful. Go for it. Do it. But when you're out there, be looking to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Looking to show the world what it looks like for Jesus to live through you. Right? You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to invite you to a relationship with Jesus. Jesus gave His life so that you could have everlasting life. And now, He gave His life because you have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I say that, you know, I say this every invitation. But the salvation plan does not change. The reason for our need of salvation does not change. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The question is, have you accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf so that you could have eternal life? The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation and I want to invite you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Father, help us that we may be reminded how precious it is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. That because of You living in us, we have a relationship with You 24/7, day in and day out. And now, Lord, help us so that we may be reminded to live in a manner that we are the members of Jesus Christ. The hands and feet, the body that takes the gospel and Your great love to the world, so that they may see what an awesome Savior we serve. And now as we have this invitation, Lord, I just lay it in Your hands. I pray Your will be done. And I pray that through this invitation, someone would come to know You as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?